Right, we're on Malta. We arrived on Malta.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Malta
is
down here, this little island that they managed to find in the middle of the Med.
Yes.
Right, and the stormy sea. Someone guided them, as we know. Yes. Right, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Mm-hmm. How did they find out the island was called Malta? Because the natives told them. That's it, yes. That's the natives. They told them, right. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. Now, it's not, that's, they remark on that. Unusual kindness means that they were really, really nice. Mm-hmm. You know, and I suppose if you saw someone getting shipwrecked and coming on shore, you'd feel a bit sympathetic for them, wouldn't you? So, they were...
yeah.
Unless they were armed, yeah. Well, no, these weren't. No, they're all, these are all struggling to get on boat.
They spoke a different language.
They might have done as well, but I suspect Greek would get them by. Yeah.
Greek, not Latin.
No, Latin. Latin, although it's the Roman authorities, Greek was the international language. Yeah, because the Greeks had been there before the Romans, so they'd got everybody speaking Greek. That's one of the amazing, wonderful things about the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek because it was the international language. So God had got it just ready to get the message out all over the world. He built the Roman roads so the gospel could go out, the missionaries, yeah? But he got the language there so they could understand what was being said as well. Right, so anyway, here we are. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. You thought the Mediterranean holiday was a nice place to go to. Well, it rains there too, apparently. Of course, this was winter time. That's the reason for it. So it's a bit of a miserable time. And so they built a fire. And the fire is to get you warm, of course. That was the idea. Right. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. So, you see, that's interesting about Paul.
Yeah.
He's just swam ashore. And the moment he gets a chance, he's doing something. Yeah. He's helping. Yeah. He's a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if you'd have just been washed up over on the beach, you'd be looking for the nearest deck chair and waiting for them to serve you, wouldn't you? No.
It depends
on the circumstances. Well, Paul was a man of wanting to kindly act. Yes, so he did. So he gathers a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. So he gathers up all these sticks and whatever to throw them on the fire, gets them near the fire, and one of the sticks was a live one.
Yeah.
And it's a snake, poisonous snake, viper, and it latched onto his hand, bit him. Yeah. Okay? And it says, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, that was quite dramatic, wasn't it? They said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live.
Mm.
Well, they've got this idea, you know, that the baddies always get caught, don't they? That's the theory. The baddies always get caught. They've been watching too many TV programs. Yeah. A lot of baddies get away with it, you've noticed that. Well, for a while, anyway. Yeah. But they're thinking, he must be a bad man, so that justice, I mean, that's their idea of God's overruling, I suppose, anyway. Justice has caught up with him. Yeah, and but Paul shook the snake off into the fire. Now, question: how did he shake the snake off into the fire? Says a lot. What did he do? Did he go?
No.
Why did he do that then? What did he tell you about Paul? He's not worried. He's not worried. Remember, Jesus says you're going to Rome. Right? No snakes are going to stop him.
No. Yeah?
So, and Jesus had promised in, it's at the end of Mark's Gospel, if you get bitten by a poisonous snake, don't worry, it won't harm you.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not recommending you try it though. It's if God intervenes in that situation. There are people in America that have snakes in their meetings, did you know that?
Yeah.
And some of them had some nasty bites and survived, but idiots is all I can say, bless them. Brothers and sisters, but idiots, nonetheless. Yeah, right? that's called tempting God, I would say. Paul wasn't tempting God, he was trying to help.
Yeah.
And he gets bitten, and he shakes it off. I'm sure he's just casual, throw it in the fire. Poor old snake got fried. Yeah.
Fried snake,
yeah. Right, shook it off into the fire, and suffered no ill effects. Yeah. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. Well, that's what happens when you get bitten by poisonous snakes, isn't it? Yeah? Anaphylactic shock, amongst other things, yes. Yeah, so swell up, over, end of fall. But no. But after waiting a long time, I bet they were really curious in watching him, you know. Yeah, waiting for it. And he carries on as normal, yeah. And probably got a cup of tea in the process or something like that, yeah.
They've probably seen it happen a lot of times before, haven't they?
Well, they've seen people get bitten and dying, yes, oh yes. Yes. Yeah. So why didn't he die?
Because
he's going to Rome. Yes. I mean, the time will come when our time's up, unless Jesus comes back, you know, right? But for Paul, time is not up. And so he's going to Rome. It's a miracle. God's the God of miracles. That's the wonderful thing. And why did God do the miracle? To show them something.
Yeah.
What God wanted them to see. That the God that Paul worships is the real God. Yeah. And so eventually Paul's going to tell them who the God is that he worships. That. So God's giving him an introduction.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Supernatural acts get God a hearing. That's often the way it works. Yeah. So they waited for a long time, and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a God.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? 1 minute he's a terrible wicked man, and the next 10 minutes,
he's a God.
Just goes to, they've got it wrong there, both ends they've got wrong, yes. They've got some idea that these gods walk around on earth sometimes. There's only one God walked on earth, his name's Jesus.
Yeah.
But they think he's a God. It just shows they're very superstitious people. Really, that's the thing, you know, they live with fears all the time. It's either this is going to happen or that's going to happen, or the gods are going to do something. Anyway, they think Paul's a god, but he tells them, obviously, that he's not. Yeah. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. Now, he's a Roman. He's been appointed there to run the island. Yeah, he's the chief official, Roman, you know. And so he welcomed us to his home for 3 days, entertained us hospitably. He welcomes them to his home. That's Paul and Luke and a few more, I imagine. I don't suppose he had them all there, but, you know, because there's 200 odd people. I can't imagine him getting 200 people in his house, but why did he have Paul in his house? Because he's a Roman prisoner, right? And being a Roman, welcomed him in, right? And I suspect that Julius, the centurion, and put in a good word for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they entertained us hospitably. And what happened after 3 days? They turned them out. Where did they turn them out to?
No, he's
doesn't tell you. Go on, you've got to guess. What do you think?
But before that, he told
the next boat to Rome. No, winter time. You can't go yet. No. Good try, but yeah, we'll have to wait for the boat. What would you suggest happened?
That the father got well, you know.
No, we're not with the father yet. No, what happened to the people that arrived on the island?
They would have gone to the garrison.
Possibly, if it was big enough.
Yeah.
But I suspect the locals, showing them unusual kindness, probably put them up, spread them around them, looked after them. Yeah?
Okay?
Yeah, so they found alternative lodging. That's what we mean. Alternative lodging. Nice. If they got a spare bed, then they come round yours, you see. There you are. Just the job, right? Right. Now, while they're there, his father was sick. This is the general Publius chap, yeah? His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. There, you see, a Mediterranean holiday isn't always what it's cracked up to be. Yeah, he's not very well. Yeah? Why was it that when Paul turns up, this chap's suffering from fever and dysentery?
Because he's going to do a miracle.
God's going to do something.
Yeah.
God's going to do something. Yeah. You see, dear friends, you run into these things called problems, and they're God opportunities.
Mm.
We don't always see it that way.
No.
I mean, if you run into someone with fever and dysentery, you probably want to clear off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not Paul. Not Paul. Paul went in to see him. How about that? And, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. How about that? Yeah? Why did he put his hands on him? I mean, if you've got fever and dysentery, keep your hands away.
And then show him.
Two things.
Right.
Jesus says, lay hands on the sick.
Yeah.
Jesus said, lay hands on the sick. Yeah. So you're doing what Jesus said. But the other is, and this is important, when God told him to lay his hands on him, does he have fever and dysentery anymore?
No.
Yeah? It's a joke, but it's not a joke in a sense. You know how they, as a leper, you weren't supposed to touch.
That's right.
And someone came to Jesus and says, you touched the leper.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, what leper?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not a leper anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this chap's healed, marvellously, miraculously.
But it said you could wet and dry leprosy.
Yeah. Hey?
You can have wet and dry.
Yeah, well, leprosy in the Bible can cover all sorts of skin conditions, I think, as well. Yes, yeah.
Sure.
It wasn't an exact medical diagnosis. It was just dangerous. So you just kept out of the way, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm sure it covered a multitude of various types of skin conditions. Yeah. could be Angie, yes. Angie, we'll get her a bell, shall we? Or we could lay hands on her. Lay hands on her and throw her out. No, we wouldn't do that. I'll scrub that off the tape, don't you worry. You're right. Okay. What happened is, he placed his hands on him and healed him. So, he healed him, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, no, Jesus healed him.
Yes.
But God uses us to heal people. Yes. That's the thing, yeah? We have authority, yeah? But it's always, get the record straight, God is the one who does the work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, so, what do you think that did? The network, network begins to rattle.
Yeah.
Listen to this, he says. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. That just opened the hospital in his house, yeah? Basically what's happened, isn't it? God is getting the people's attention. And what's God showing them? He's good. He cares about them. He wants to help. Yeah. And so Paul has this opportunity to tell them about the love of God and show it. Yeah. So here are these sick people turning up. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Word gets out fast. And if people are sick, where should they go? To Jesus. Yeah. I mean, but God's man in the situation was Paul.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything about Jesus really, so they go to him and find out God loves them, he heals them, and tells them about Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll bet some became believers, wouldn't you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes. As a result, we find then they honoured us in many ways. Right. They honoured us in many ways. They were grateful for what God was doing amongst them. Yeah. Showed appreciation. Nice to say thank you, isn't it?
Yeah.
If that's all you do, be honouring someone, thank you is a good one to start with. They said thank you and they showed various things. And when we were ready to sail, so that's 3 months later now, thereabouts, you know, winter's passed, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
When they were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So because when they landed on the island, what did they have?
Nothing.
The clothes they were standing in, that's all. Mm-hmm. But now they've been provided with other stuff so they can travel.
Well, they wait 3 months.
Yeah, well, it's winter time, you can't travel. You can't travel, no. Not in the Mediterranean at this time in the world.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you get a decent storm like they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wouldn't be wanting to go out sailing away.
Oh,
no.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, you see, this is the problem with today. We always want to do everything
now.
Fast and now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as having to wait. Well, there was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And a good thing too. Because God used the opportunity. Here are people that need God's blessing. God blesses them, and they hear about Jesus. I mean, that's a good. That's not wasting time, is it?
No.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Right. So then they go, verse 11. After 3 months, see, after 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Alexandrian ship. Well, remember they'd sailed on an Alexandrian ship that had gone the wrong direction because they'd set out the first Alexandrian ship and sailed and finished up getting blown off towards where they were.
Where's Alexandria?
It's North Egypt. The North Egyptian coast, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not there now, but it was a really big centre of learning at one time. Major capital of learning at one time. But anyway, this Alexandrian ship, I think one of the other things is, you may not know this, but North Africa was the grain supply for the Roman Empire. It was the breadbasket of the Roman Empire in those days. We've rather destroyed it somewhat, has it not? Yeah. But it supplied corn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was coming from Alexandria with a grain cargo, so the big ships, yeah, and he managed to get to the right place. He had arrived at Malta. See, so what, oh, I've got the map here, I chopped it down. He sailed from down here, and he finished up there. Right, whereas the other chap sailed off late and finished up over there, because the winds were against him. Anyway, he's obviously a good driver on this ship. They're better throw it out, yes. Yeah. Well, this one's different. Anyway, this is the ship, the Alexandrian ship, with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who they belong to. This is Greek mythology. Castor and Pollux were the sons of some god or other. And they're the twin gods. Mm. Twins. There. But they're not gods, but that's what they call them, yeah? Right? And if you look out on them tonight, yes, you can, well, you won't be able to see. You might be able to at dark, when it gets dark. You should see the constellation of Gemini. There are two big stars in the constellation of Gemini, which are Castor and Pollux.
Yeah.
Right. But that's completely different. Nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
These, why do they put figureheads on the ship?
Charm.
It's a lucky mascot.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. A lucky mascot. Yeah. You see, if you've got them on the front of your ship, you won't run into any problems, will you?
Mm.
Are you okay, though?
The wind draws.
There's
grass coming down.
It's me talking too much, you
know.
Well, move over. Move over, come forward. Away from the wall. No, they're not very, not very secure windows.
Feel the draft coming off.
It's cold air. It's cold outside now.
Cold.
I told you it was cold, didn't I? Yeah. Right, the lucky charms.
Yes.
My father-in-law had this. I think he became a believer before he died, which is good. But my father had a lucky charm in his car.
Mm.
He used to keep a Bible in the glove rack.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Of course, the Bible would keep away all these evil creatures that were going to attack your car. Did it work? I don't think so.
No.
So we said to him, Dad, the best way to have the Bible is inside you, not in the glove compartment. That's the right place for it to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, these lucky charms on the boats, and I suppose there were ways of recognising what ships they were as well. Yeah. So it's like having the name and a lucky mascot as well. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. Syracuse is on the island of Sicily, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going in the right direction because the weather's doing the right thing for them now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lost place? Where have we got to?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We stayed there 3 days. Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then why did they stay there for 3 days? I don't know. Perhaps it was to catch up on a few bits of fresh water or something like that, or just do a bit of sightseeing. I don't think so. No, but anyway, for some reason they stayed there. Then we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. Or Rhegium, right? That's just on the tip of the boot of Italy, as you can see.
Yeah.
Right, just reached Italy now. That's where we've got to. Yes. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at the difference. Yeah, it's taken them quite a while to get from there to there. They've managed, but the next day, when the wind comes up, takes them one day to get from there to there.
Mm.
Of course, the wind's blowing in the right direction and helping them along.
Mm.
So they get to there. We reach Puteoli. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. This is travelling in style, isn't it? Brothers and sisters. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Ah, because that's the 2011 edition of the NIV.
Right.
It doesn't say it in the Greek.
Oh,
that's my one. I'm not being open here. I've one quibble with the 2011 edition.
Yeah.
What it's done is it's gone generalised.
Oh.
So it says brothers and sisters when it says brothers.
Yeah.
And if you read Proverbs, when it says a man that defies instruction will be destroyed. Yeah.
Right.
That's the 1984 edition.
Yeah.
In the 2011 edition, it will say a person who defies instruction will be destroyed.
Yeah.
They instead of the he, which I object to. I mean, we can all understand what he means.
Exactly.
It's not just he; it's brothers and sisters as well, of course.
Yeah.
Right? But why change the language just to do that? I think, for me, when it says a person, it doesn't have the same sort of finger point application. When it says, you ladies can read it. You say. A friendly man is a welcome man. You say that, I make a proverb. A friendly man is a welcome man.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of a woman as well. But he didn't say woman. But Yeah. We know that's true. Why change the scriptures to suit your little ideologies? That's my gripe over for the moment. Yeah. So this. This is the 1984 edition.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't have sisters.
Nearly infallible version, they call it.
Well, it's not now. It's not that. The 84 edition is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've I said they generalised it.
Partner.
So there you are. Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that. Where have we got to? Yes. We found some brothers, and probably sisters as well, but he didn't say sisters, but they're allowed in, who invited us to spend a week with them.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they come from? When he says brothers, and we'll say sisters, yes? They're probably Jews, no, but it's not that. They probably are Jews, but they're believers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're believers.
Mm.
Well, how did they get there? How did Christians finish up in Rome before Paul got there?
Because God
didn't pray,
didn't
it? Sorry? Pentecost. Mm-hmm. If you read, well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. This is a flashback in your memories, this one. Acts chapter 2 says, when they heard all these people speaking in these different languages, where have we got?
Different languages?
Yes.
Not all Greek.
Not all Greek? No. Why did God use different languages?
They
did all speak Greek. I'm sure Peter preached in Greek. I'm sure Peter preached in Greek to the people. They could all understand Greek, but why did God speak to them in their own language?
Because they could understand it better.
They could understand it better, possibly, yes, but I think there's something much more personal. Yes?
Every
nation under heaven, yes. So they all spoke their different languages. The question I'm asking is, why did God, by the Holy Spirit, cause the tongues to be heard by people in their own language?
So that they knew that he loved them as well.
Yes, God is their God. Yeah. It's not just some foreign God.
Yeah.
He's your God too.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible translators try to translate the Bible into the language of the people.
Mm.
Because it's not a foreign religion, it's theirs. Yeah. Go on, yeah, please.
Yeah. I mean, people mocked them saying they were drunk, but how would a ton of
come out with all these languages? Well, it's supernatural, that's why. The objection is stupid. They're drunk. So Peter says, no, they're not. It's the wrong time of day, the pubs aren't open. Yeah. That's his first line. But let's have a look. We've got back to where we are. Now he says, are not all these Galileans? And then verse 8. Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. So some people were visiting from Rome. Jewish believers, or Jewish people, from Rome, they heard the gospel and they believed in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they took the message back with them, that Jesus is their Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And then they hear that Paul's coming, so they come to welcome him. Mm-hmm. Yes? And so it'd be quite an encouragement. If you've spent all that time sort of trying to get to the place and then you find out there are people there to welcome you, it makes you feel good, I guess, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is, well, let's have a look where we've got to.
15.
Where are we? Verse what?
15.
Oh, yeah, very good, yes. The brothers there heard we were coming and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. So they've walked, rather than by boat, walked from Rome down to these two places, which is quite a few miles for them, to go and welcome him. And what do they do? At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's good, because God's gone before him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew that anyway. God got there before Paul did. Yeah. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we've arrived in Rome, that's the point. Mm-hmm. And Paul is given a degree of freedom, but he's got his own place. And he has a soldier to guard him, and normally the soldier had to be handcuffed to you, or some form of, so you didn't go do runner or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, got a good question for you. What do you think happened to the soldiers that were guarding him?
They
converted. They got the message.
Yes.
And in fact, if you read some of Paul's letters, he says quite a number of people from the royal household are believers.
They got
and the military as well, of course. They get fastened to a missionary.
Yes.
You're going to hear the message, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Right. And I wonder. Perhaps the non-believing group thought, oh no, we got Paul today. But when they came back, oh, that was great. So they'd be glad to go back. Right, so there we are. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do that?
Well,
Jewish. Sorry?
He was
Jewish.
He's
Jewish?
Yeah.
He wants to speak to them.
Yeah.
Do you notice Paul's strategy every time was to the Jews first. If he could reach the Jews, because they were the people that should be ready to hear the gospel, that's one of the things. And Paul loves them, they're his natural brothers and sisters, of course. So he calls the leaders of the Jews. When they assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, notice that's a good start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My brothers, although I've done nothing against our people, notice, or against the customs of our ancestors. See, he's making his case. I'm Jewish, you know. I really am. I've not chucked it up. Yes. I've not done anything against the customs of our ancestors. I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. He doesn't say anything about them trying to kill him or anything, but he just keeps it simple. Yeah. Handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically saying is, the reason I'm here is, I had to appeal to Caesar, because I'd have got killed otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I got nothing against the people at all in that sense, I wouldn't say anything about it, but I'm here because I had to appeal to Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For this reason, I've asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain.
Mm-hmm.
So he was chained up, wasn't he, at the time? Yeah. It's the hope of Israel. What's the hope of Israel? No.
The
Messiah.
The
freed comes with Messiah. When Messiah comes, he does it, you see. That's their understanding. So we're longing to see the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's the hope of Israel.
Yeah.
And Paul's next message, and we've not got the whole message here. What's going to be Paul's next bit? Paul's next bit is, yes, I believe in the hope of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I've met him.
Yeah.
He's arrived.
Yeah.
And he'll explain about Jesus, of course. They replied, we've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who come from there have reported or said anything bad about you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one possible good reason for that is, if it's taken Paul this long to get from Caesarea to Rome, then all the bad news wouldn't have got there any quicker.
No.
It would be later on, so they wouldn't have heard anything anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the point, yeah. And those that arrived earlier wouldn't have said anything because there's nothing to say.
Mm.
Yeah. So, where have we got to? They replied, we've not received any news or letters. Verse 22. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that the people everywhere are talking against this sect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten to Rome that things are happening with these things called Christians.
Mm.
Yeah? They call it a sect, meaning it's a breakaway group, is what they're really saying. Yeah. So we'd be interested to what's it all about? What's going on? Yeah. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. Well, Paul basically is saying, well, I can't tell you everything now. It's getting a bit late. It's tea time, you know. The soldier's got to go home soon. Yeah, sort of thing. Tell you what, let's arrange another time when we can get together and have a good talk about all this.
Yeah.
So that's what he does. And of course, I suspect Paul's intention and hope is there'll be more of them.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happens. But he says, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they managed to get them all in, unless it was a fairly biggish place to start with, I don't know, but they've got them all there. Now then, would you like this? From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets.
They said, don't complain how long you're in church.
Don't complain about the preacher. Right? You ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
from morning till evening, because he's got a lot to say. It's really something. And he says, he explained to them about the kingdom of God, how God's kingdom has come. It's not in the future in all that sense, although it is future, it's arrived as well, and you can be part of it in this kingdom where the king reigns. Yeah? And he said he tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets, which means, what's the law of Moses and the prophets?
The Old Testament.
It's the Old Testament, from their Bible.
Yeah.
Yes. Convince them about Jesus from their Bible. Yes. Had a nice meeting, had a fraternal this week, and one of the people that came along said they couldn't find my website thing, but they managed to look it up eventually. And they saw that I got the Christology of the Old Testament in there. Said, wow, Jesus in the Old Testament, that's really good to see that there. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jesus is in the Old Testament because he wrote it.
Yes.
Right? But he's there because he appears in it as well. Yes, quite a few instances.
He is the Word.
He is the Word, yes. Yeah. He gave the Word and he became flesh as well. But anyway, that's what Paul's intention is, to try and convince them about this Jesus being the Messiah. Yeah. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. Now that's a very sad line in many ways, you know. Some were convinced, they saw the arguments, they saw the evidence that he gives them, and it's a no-brainer. Jesus is the Messiah. Absolutely dead cert, yeah? But some would not believe.
Like now.
Why? And you know, it's the problem of the will. They would not believe. It's not that the evidence wasn't there.
Yeah.
I should imagine Paul was probably one of the best people for arguing about Jesus being the Messiah that there's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't believe. Why? Because, I give you several reasons. Why don't people become Christians?
I don't want to change their life.
Don't want to change. Mm-hmm. Too much change needs. I don't want to. I like the way I am. Mm-hmm. Why should I start letting God mess me up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like my 12-year-old boy I was, yeah? When
it's also a natural human phenomenon that you can lie to people far easier than you can convince them they've been lied to. Because once people believe something, they hang on to
they hang on to it.
If you have a belief, you can lie to them. And that
Don't what's going to say, don't confuse me with the truth. My mind's made up.
Yeah,
that's the way it works. Yeah.
We don't like change.
We don't. I'm agree with that. We don't like change. Yeah. But when it's staring you in the face. That's the problem. But I think the issue is, it requires that they've got to do something about what God's making demands on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And the big demand is, who's in charge?
Yeah.
Remember I said, as a 12-year-old boy, a preacher that said to me, give your life to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, it's my life, I'll do what I like with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was me saying, I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God wants to be in charge. And the good news is, when you let him be in charge, it works.
Yes.
It works. Anyway, they resisted. Some didn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
What a sad thing. And I should imagine that grieved dear Paul as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They disagreed among themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, they would do, wouldn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made his final statement. Yeah, so they're beginning to get a bit worked up about this.
Mm-hmm.
So his final statement was, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, do you know who spoke through Isaiah? Was it Isaiah talking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Isaiah talking, but it wasn't Isaiah talking.
No.
It says the Holy Spirit did it.
Yeah.
That's, just to say it again, that tells you something about his understanding of the inspiration of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not just man's writing, it's God writing through people.
Yeah.
And whether they're aware of it or not, God made them write what he wanted written.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding of the inspiration of the Bible. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's God's word, because God made sure that what they got put in was what God wanted put in, and he kept out what they didn't want put in. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet. And this is Isaiah's message.
Yeah.
Go to this people. I'm going to preach on this in a week or two, I think.
Okay.
This passage, yeah? It's serious stuff, this is, yeah? Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
For this people's heart has become calloused.
Yeah.
And they hardly hear with their ears.
Mm-hmm.
And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I would heal them. What, I'll just give you a little preview in the sense of what I think from this passage is, Isaiah sees this glory of God, and then he volunteers to serve him, because God has just forgiven him his sins. Yeah? And God says, who will go for me? Who can I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Right? Now, just one interesting thing about that is, when God asks you to volunteer, he doesn't tell you what you're volunteering for.
No.
He says, am I Lord or am I not? No. That's question number one. Yeah. If you say yes, then he'll tell you what he's going to do for you.
Yeah.
Right. So, Isaiah, I'll go, Lord. And the Lord says, right, I've got a job for you, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell people things they don't want to hear, and the more you tell them, the harder they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Now, there's another bit to the passage which I won't deal with now, but that's the main thrust to start with. You tell people things they don't like, they don't want to hear, and as a result they're going to get harder and harder, and the more you say, the more they'll turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you found that sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, nothing's changed, has it yet?
No.
Right. And he's saying, that's exactly what's happening to you. These people that were listening who had rejected it, yeah? He says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Is that interesting? He says, you rejecting it, well, that's God's opportunity for it to go to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? They'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the sad thing is, Gentiles are hard-headed unless God opens their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he knew that the Gentiles would
listen. Yeah, but they're going to get it. They're going to get it. Now, thank God.
Yes.
I'm one of them. You're one of them. It's good news, isn't it?
Yep.
Right. I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. And Paul in Romans says that the strategy of God in that is that when the Gentiles get the message and start living the way God wants them to live,
mm-hmm.
the Jews will see it and they'll get jealous.
Yes.
And that's good jealousy, because
yes.
it makes them want what they've got.
Yes.
Right? Christian, are you, I'm just saying, not just for Jews,
yes.
Christian, are you an advert for Jesus that people can say, I want what that person's got? Oh, they think it's dysentery and fever again. I don't know what they've got. Yeah? Well, that's what we're meant to be. That's what Paul was saying. Yeah, Gentiles, get it, live it, show it, and then the point is the Jews will come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end, yeah. Right, lastly then, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. So people were popping in and coming to ask questions and share with him and so on. And that's good, isn't it? For two whole years, long years it says, really, doesn't it? Yeah. 2 years of opportunities of sharing Jesus with people. Now, one crazy question for you is this. If you had thought that Paul was going to be an evangelist in Rome, you wouldn't have chosen him to do it locked up in a house, would you? And yet God did it that way. Amazing. God can use all sorts of things. And lastly, it says, boldly and without hindrance he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, he didn't hold back. He told them as it was. Straight from the horse's mouth, you can say. And he doesn't tell us any more. Luke stops there.
Yeah.
What happened to Paul? We can assume from this, it says, for 2 whole years he did that.
Yeah.
It would seem, and tradition has it, that Paul was released.
Mm-hmm.
He was later rearrested on something else and executed. But for some period of time, Paul was released.
Mm.
Yeah, so he got on with doing what he likes doing, I suspect. Mm. But what else did he do in those 2 whole years?
Preaching.
Preaching, yes. He met people, spoke to people.
Letters.
He wrote letters.
Yeah.
You've got what they call the prison letters.
Yeah.
That's where he wrote them from. Yes.
Why did he write a letter to the Romans if he was there?
Well, before he got there. He wrote that one before he got there. He says, I'm hoping to see you. When I get there, I want to be a blessing to you. And he was, but it wasn't quite the way he thought it was going to be. Yeah, but God knows. Yeah. So, yeah, he wrote letters before he got to Rome. But when he was in Rome, he wrote letters, very special letters. Philippians being one of them, I believe. Let's just have a quick check. We're going to look at Philippians next time.
Yeah.
What's the first verse in Philippians? Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It doesn't mention that, yeah.
Philippians
2,
verse 24.
2:24. What's that say? 2:24. Oh yes, I myself am confident that I'll soon myself will soon come to you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he wrote that from prison. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Mm-hmm. But there are other places where Paul says that I'm in chains for the gospel's sake. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. So that's the end of Acts, or is it?
No.
Not of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's really what the name of the gospel, the Acts should be. It is the Acts of the apostles, two apostles, basically Peter and Paul. All the other apostles were doing their stuff, of course. Yeah. But it's just a sample of what God had started that was going to go worldwide.
Yeah. We're now in the New Age, do they call it?
The New Age?
Well, we had the Old Testament.
Yes.
Which was looking forward to Christ.
Yeah.
Christ come.
Yes.
And now the church has begun.
These are the last days, we could call them. It's in the last days.
Yeah.
The last period. The Messianic Age. We call it that, the Messianic Age, which will be have the climax of the return of the Messiah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So yes, I remember reading some years ago about Paul Pilley, our dear brother who's gone to be with the Lord in India, and the work that God did through him over many years of founding hundreds and hundreds of churches. Thousands of people came to Christ through their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And to read their newsletters, someone we can't remark it, it's like reading chapter 29 of Acts.
Yeah.
It's the continuing work of God.
Mm.
Yeah. So he is at work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't believe all that you hear on the news. It's not all bad.
No.
God is at work.
Mm.
Yes, and he still will keep working until Jesus comes back. Let's break, shall we, and call that in. Mm. Lord, it's a blessing to belong in this amazing kingdom of God. Lord, through the grace of God, through the mercy you've shown us in Jesus. Lord, I confess that just like those people that were listening that could be as hard-hearted and deaf, I could be the same, Lord, just like the rest. Except, Lord, by your grace, you open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Just like that man that Jesus healed, I can say, once I was blind, but now I see.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we thank you. That's the good news that, Lord, not only brings life, it brings light into people's lives, Lord. And so we pray for the work of the gospel as it goes on in this chapter 29 of Acts down to the end of the time. Lord, call out the people for yourself, after Jew and Gentile, Lord. Lord, gather those in for whom Jesus gave his life. Lord, we ask your blessing and thank you for the work of your servant Paul, for his willingness to learn in any and every situation to take advantage to share Jesus with others. Lord, help us to be the same. And thank you, Lord, for your grace to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.